Good afternoon. My name is Ruth Bevan, and on behalf of the Rabbi Arthur Schneier Center for International Affairs, I would like to welcome you today. We are gathered here to celebrate Yom HaTzmaut with our most distinguished and venerated guest, Rabbi Israel Meir Lau, Chief Rabbi of Tel Aviv and former Ashkenazic Chief Rabbi of Israel. Rabbi Lau, welcome to Yeshiva University. We are honored to have you with us. The Rabbi Arthur Schneier Center is pleased to co-host this lecture today with the student organization of Yeshiva. And at this moment, I would like to introduce to you Menachem Butler, president of the student organization of Yeshiva, SOY. Menachem.
Thank you very much. In his capacity as spiritual leader of the Parki Synagogue for over 40 years, Rabbi Arthur Schneier has shown that Orthodox Judaism has relevance to and cares about the well-being of the world and its people. It is my honor to introduce Rabbi Arthur Schneier.
Thank you, Professor Bevan, not only for the introduction, but for carrying the burden of managing the Center for International Affairs. Let's give Professor Bevan a great big hand. Menachem Butler, you know what I think of you in terms of your outreach. I wish you hatzlacha in all your endeavors, and you are going to be a nishmat shliach. Rosh Yeshiva, distinguished rabbis, ladies and gentlemen, and of course, my dear beloved friend, Chief Rabbi Harav Yisrael Meir Lau, and Rabbanit, yeah. We live in a remarkable time. Harav Lau and the Rabbanit were in Auschwitz on Tuesday, leading the March of the Living. Then went back to Israel, and then spent Shabbat at Parki Synagogue in New York. And I persuaded him to stay, to come to our alma mater, Yeshiva University, and to give us some inspiration and chizuk. And right after this lecture, he's going to the Kennedy Airport in order to be in Israel for Yom HaZikaron. So you have many, many virtues, but thank God you're a gadol bakoach who's able to fly all over the world and strengthen Torah and Jewish solidarity in the state of Israel. Yesterday, Harav Lau, in a very moving personal message to Parki Synagogue, and many of my trustees and members are here, became very personal. And we've been together in the Kremlin, and Bangkok, and so many different places. But I didn't see you cry the way you cried yesterday. Actually cry. And why did he cry? He recalled his birthday, April 11, 1945. his birthday because at the age of 8, he was liberated in Buchenwald. And then told the story of his liberation, the suffering, the loss of his parents, rest of the family. And I could identify very much with Harav Lau because I was liberated on January 13, 1945 in Budapest, Hungary, after the loss of my family in Auschwitz and Theresien. And as he was speaking, the Yekeskiel question came to mind. As survivors who were broken in spirit, emaciated, no hope, sky was dark and black, question, Hatichyena Hatzamot Ha'ele, can these dry bones live again? And the Navi answers, and God has kept his pledge, Natati Ruchi Bachem, Yitem V'Inachti Etchem Al Atmatem, I will put a ruach in you survivors. You will live again. But not only that, I will return you to your admasem, to your land. And that's exactly what Harav Lau shared with us yesterday. His brother, who was Consul General of Israel, Naftali Lavi, when he saw his little brother right after liberation, he said to him, remember, two words, Eretz Yisrael, don't go anywhere else. If we see each other again in Eretz Yisrael. And so, Rav Lau, unfortunately, your parents, your mishpacha, died al Kiddush Hashem. But what you have done as a survivor, in their memory, you have dedicated your life to Kiddush Hachaim. To Kiddush Hachaim, the contrast. Parents and family with Mesirat Nefesh died al Kiddush Hashem. And you have dedicated your life to Kiddush Hachaim. We have shared many, many shared experiences in Russia and Thailand and United Nations and so forth. So it's very appropriate that a Rav who follows in the tradition of Nei Yisachar, Yodei Bina La'itim, that you should speak Shnaiah Center of International Affairs. Because it's one thing to be a Rav, a Manik B'Yisrael, steeped in Torah, but you also have to know what's going on in the world. You also have to know the challenges that are facing Israel and the Jewish people on a daily basis. And as we read in Dibrei Hayamim, what was the greatness of Nei Yisachar? Ladat ma yaseh Yisrael. Ladat ma yaseh Yisrael. And we're facing so many challenges. Hashem has given you the binah, the outreach. And above all, He's given you chachmat lev. Chachma, you know how to deal with people, Jews, non-Jews, communists. So it's a great privilege for my Rabbanit, who's a great Hasidist of yours, Elizabeth, and myself, to have had you as our host this weekend. May we share many, many other smachot together, and let us welcome the Gadol, the Chachma, the Rav with Chachmat Lev, and the one who follows in the tradition of Nei Yisachar, Yodei Binah La'itim. Please rise and welcome Rav Mirzah.
Is Professor Beva? She's here. Yes, she is. Professor Beva. Kvod HaRabanim, Kvod Rashi HaYeshiva, Ani chayav letzayen, nosaf l'Rav Zvulun Charlap Shlita, et HaRav Hershel Shechter, sheoto hikarti bBuchenwald, באפריל 45. He was in the battalion of General Patton, who broke in the concentration camp of Buchenwald and have liberated us. And here Rabbi Shechter came into the barracks, and people were more dead than alive, and shouted, they thought it's a dream, Yidden, you are liberated, you sind frei, you can go nach heim. For the Rabbanim, Rashi HaYeshiva, Morai v'Rabotai, and Kvod HaRav Arthur Schleyer. My dear friend Rav Arthur Schleyer, who is the founder of the Center for International Affairs, to enlighten a little bit the horizons of all the students, if they need to enlighten their horizons, what's going on in the world, and especially I believe you are interested in what is going in Medinat Israel, which is celebrating its 58th anniversary day after tomorrow. I will start with a short story, an episode, but it remarked something for me. About 20 years ago, I was on a mission of lecture tour to encourage Aliyah Eretz Israel. The truth is, the first time when I came into a shul, it was Shabbat in the morning, and the rabbi of the shul introduced me. I was that time chief rabbi of Netanya. When he spoke about me, about my biography, whatever, someone whispered to me, "Rabbi, for whom do you collect?" I thought, I don't understand even that, and his English. It was undoubtedly the time a schnorrer, a collector. A rabbi from Eretz Yisrael must be a schnorrer. The question was only for whom, not if I collect. So I whispered him back, "I came to collect your souls." But he said, so he thought that he doesn't know English. On that mission, I arrived for 20 hours to Baltimore. I have met noontime just after arrival with the Rabbanim, Vaad HaRabbanim of Baltimore, and then the chairman of that time, הרב ניוברגר, זכרנו לברכה, asked me if I want to meet with his brother-in-law, the Rosh Yeshiva Agoyen Rav Ruderman, the Rosh Yeshiva of Ner Yisrael in Baltimore. I said, it's a great privilege for me. Can you find it? 20 hours I have here. I have a meeting with students in the school, and later on, and in gathering of all the assembly of the people who are interested to hear about Aliyah. I said, yeah, you have time, and I have arranged, he's waiting for you. Kavod Gadol. We went to his home. He was sitting in his study, library, whatever. The walls made of glass. When I came in, as Rav Neuberger, a young rabbi was talking to Rav Ruderman. I couldn't not hear what they discussed. The same room. I didn't see the face of the young rabbi, his back, but I saw the face of Rav Ruderman with the heavy eyeglasses. And that young rabbi, a rabbi in Baltimore, a graduate of Ner Yisrael, a Talmud of Rav Ruderman, came with a problem. A serious problem, critical problem. Punkt. Exactly, I had to hear it. What was his problem? There is a split in his community. A machlokes, a debate. And they are going to split into two communities. Why? Ayid, one of the congregants, a survivor, have donated a parochet on the Ark, Aron HaKodesh, in memory of his parents who perished in Holocaust. In the mid of the parochet there is a Magen David. Some of the people in Shul said Magen David is a Zionist item. It's a part of the Israeli flag. It doesn't fit an Oron Kodesh. It doesn't fit our congregation. I have to come to pray for a Magen David, which is a part of the Israeli flag, Zionist movement. I'm not a Zionist. Take it on. The Yid insisted on. He said, you insult me. You insult my parents. The rabbi himself, I understood, he agrees with that Yid. But he was afraid from the Balabasim, who are against the Magen David. Rav Ruderman said, was he schlecht mit der Magen David? What's wrong with the Magen David? Even by uns in Slabodka, which is a suburb of the city of Kovno in Lithuania, on the map, on the table by reading the Torah, on the Torah ropes itself, and on the Oron Kodesh, even in the chandeliers, there was a Magen David. So what's wrong with a Magen David? I don't understand. Roshiva. The young rabbi said, yeah, but this was before the Jewish state was established. And that time, the Magen David wasn't possible. It was kosher. But now it's a part, a symbol of the state of Zionism. So the decision was made that I will ask the Rosh Yeshiva, you are God Lador here in Baltimore, of course, what you will say will be done. Rav Ruderman said, what do you say? That the Magen David is now a part of the Medina, a symbol of the Medina, the state. What's wrong with the Medina? I have heard it in my ears.
The Medina is a good result. It saved the lives of millions of Jews.
There are things you have to fix in the Medina. There are people who have to make tshuva. Tshuva daf mentor. But the Medina is the Medina. That's a good thing. Leave that Mogen David on its place. Don't remove its paroiches. The Medina is a good result. The one who needs to make tshuva, let's say make tshuva. But don't speak against the Medina. This I heard in my ears from Abu Dhabi. When the Medina was established in 1948, we had no chance to enter into the question what kind of a Medina we are going to establish. What will be the spirit? What will be the constitution? Will it be a constitution? How will be the Shabbat? What will be the character of Medinat Israel? We didn't have the time. The possibilities to discuss it. It was just after World War II, after the underground movements, Haganah, Palmach, Etzel and Lehi, and in the day when David Ben-Gurion declared the Medina on Friday, May 1548, in Beit Dizengoff, Boulevard Rothschild 16, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, the Egyptian Air Force had bombed the central station in Tel Aviv, and 40 victims were the first victims of the independence war. And we didn't have one aircraft to fight the Egyptian Air Force, not even one. 40 victims, and the whole population was less than 600,000, over 500,000. 40 in 1 hour. And we entered into a war of 7 against 7 nations, supported by the British Army, Sir Galav Becha of Jordan, openly, with Haj Amin al Husseini, the Mufti. And what did we have? What kinds of weapon? Some old Czech rifles. A year and a half, and we paid a heavy price, over 6,000 victims, over 6,000 from the population, make the threshold. What means a percent of the whole population after Holocaust. And at the moment the independence war came to an end, we started to absorb the new Olim who came mainly from Asia and Africa and refugees from Europe. Not it in borders. No financial means. Some of them lack of education, no homes, no professions. Who took care about what kind of a spirit will be the color of the Jewish state? Is it a state for the Jews or a Jewish state? Which you understand, it's not the same. So the whole task was to make it a state for the Jewish people, to create a national home for the Jewish survivors, because from Yemen they were also survivors, and Iraq and Iran and Syria and Mitzrayim,
they were also like us. So we understood that our task is build them homes, give them education, professions, building families. Who spoke about what kind of spirit will be the Jewish state? He didn't speak about the Jewish state. Even in the independence scroll, I want you to pay attention. So David Ben-Gurion read on that May 15, you find about 20 times the word Jewish state. You never find even once the word democracy. Very strange. Today everyone knows that Israel is a Jewish democracy state. Some say that more important is democracy. We say more important is Jewishness. In the independence scroll signed by Ben-Gurion and members of Mapam, Shomer HaTzair, and members of the Communist Party, Meir Vilner is undersigned on that scroll. Chazon HaNevi'im, the prophecies of the prophets. Medinat Israel, Tieh Ptucha, will be open le Aliyah Yehudit, Jewish immigration. Jewish Aliyah. 20 times Yehudit, 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 Yehudit. Only. Be'ezrat Tzur Israel. The word democratic never appears in the scroll of independence. It says that there will be no discrimination. No discrimination. This means a democracy, of course. But emphasizing the independence scroll underside from Ishmael Levin till Meir Vilner, Medina Yehudit, Aliyah Yehudit, not 300 non-Jews, 300,000 non-Jews today, speaking openly, only Aliyah Yehudit. But still, we didn't have the chance to sit even once, the Knesset, to dedicate itself 1 week. Let's speak about what a character will the Jewish state have. What means a Jewish state? What does it mean? What is the definition of Jewish state? Not even 1 week is dedicated to discuss it. But Ben-Gurion wanted Aguda to join the first government, the first coalition. He wrote a letter to Rabbi Ishmael Levin, son-in-law of the Gerer Rebbe, the Imre Emes, as it's called, promising 3 paragraphs. And on this basis, you may join the government, and he was the Minister of Welfare, the first one, Sarah Saad. What did he promise? Batei Din Rabbaniim, Jewish rabbinic courts, according to the law, that all the Nisuin VeGerushin, marriages and divorce, will be according to Din Torah. This is a decision. And it later on was formulated by a law given by the Knesset on 1953. 1953, 5 years after the establishment of the state, the Knesset had received a law, Nisuin VeGerushin, among Jews, don't speak about the Arabs, the Christians, the Druze, the Cherkess, the Bedouins, among Jews, only Alpi Din Torah. There are no civil marriages, no civil divorce in the state of Israel till this very last day, 58 years. Hey. Ben-Gurion wrote it to Rabbi Levin, Chemaya, and the Knesset made it as a law in 1953. Number 2, Shabbat. The seventh day, the Shabbat, this is the day. No schools, no stores, no department stores, no factories, no public transportation.
the train, the buses, Shabbat. And number three, education. It has to be number one. Everyone may send his boy, his girl, to a school he wants, in the spirit he wants, to bring them up in the way he wants. Will be open, democracy, everyone may choose the school for his children. Chinuch, Shabbat, Nisuin Vegerush, which we understood that includes conversions. Because to decide upon Nisuin, who can marry whom, according to the Mishpat HaTorah, the Jewish law, must be accepted, his conversion, on a Jewish way, halachic way. Just a moment. And, in addition, ad hoc, a committee was established in the independence war, in the midst of the war, a committee of three leaders to decide what will be today, tomorrow, with public transportation on Shabbat. Eged wants to go, Dan wants to go. That time was Hamekasher in Yerushalayim, Shachar in Haifa, Drom Yehuda in Rishon LeZion. Five cooperatives of public transportation and the train. What will be in next Shabbat? Three members. Prime Minister David Ben-Gurion, Interior Minister Yitzhak Greenberg, and Minister of Religion Affairs Harav Fishman Maimon. And they came out with that slogan, which people think it's a halachic slogan. It's a Latin one. Status quo. Status quo ante. Which means, let's photocopy the situation as it is until we will discuss about a Jewish state, what does it mean, which is not yet discussed. Let's behave according to the situation of today, at present. For instance, in Haifa, which was before the establishment of the state a mixed city, Jews and Arabs, and public transportation was there 7 days a week, status quo will be the same. Tel Aviv, any Hebrew state, a Jewish state, separated from Jaffa, there was never public transportation, status quo. There will be no buses in Tel Aviv. Ramat Gan, the cinema is closed on Shabbat, status quo. 1 meter from Kornea Ordea and the great synagogue of Ramat Gan was Givatayim, Rehov Sirkin, Kornoa Hadar. Givatayim was Givat Rambam, Shunat Arlozorov, Shunat Borokov, socialist group, labor, left more. The cinema was open on Shabbat. Status quo, let it be open on Shabbat. So, 1 meter from Ramat Gan to Givatayim. Is it sensible? No. Is this the correct way? No. But this enables us to dwell together. And everything was so flexible. For instance, you know that all the kitchens in Tzahal, IDF, must be kosher. How did it start? Occasionally. Occasionally. It's unbelievable. I remember, even now, I can quote exactly, even the tune and the words of David Ben-Gurion, first Prime Minister and Minister of Defense, visiting in Sarafat, the biggest army camp, which was that time in Israel, Ba'at Arba. The radio, Kol Israel, was one channel. Only one documentarian diary from 7 to 7:30 p.m. So inside of the news, voices and pictures from the news. Television wasn't existing. 1949, I am a child in Kiryat Moskin, and I hear the voice of Ben-Gurion, you cannot miss it. And he speaks, Ben-Gurion, 7:15. I was today in Sarafan. I went to see the soldiers in the dining room at lunch. Hundreds of them were sitting at the table eating their lunch. One of them stood in the side at the wall holding a bread, a whole bread in one hand and a big tomato in the other hand, and eating from the bread and from the tomato. The Seirug gives it from time to time. I called him and said, why do you behave like this? Why don't you sit together with your friends? Eat more. Where are you? Where are your manners or behavior? What does it mean? Don't you know there is a knife, a fork? The soldier answered, Ani aduk. That time we didn't speak datiim chiloniim, they were adukim and chofshim. Ani aduk. I am an observant Jew, datiim. All the products brought in are kosher. But here in the kitchen, there is a mixture of milk and meat. In the same pot, they cooked in the morning dairy. In the same pot, they cooked now for lunch meat, luf. So the forks and the knives and the spoons and the pot and their plates are not kosher. I can eat the bread, I can eat the potatoes, the tomatoes, I can eat if it's not cooked, but I cannot use the cutlery of the kitchen. Ben-Gurion tells the story and says on the radio, at that moment, I gave a decision. All the kitchens of Tzahal will be kosher, all the same. Because if they are, I will never forget, if they are 1,000 soldiers, 999 chofshim, and one aduk, it must be kosher. Because the 999 may eat kosher, and the one is forbidden to eat treif. And the same thing will be in the hospitals, and the same thing will be in jail. Bebet HaCholim uMebatei Asurim. I remember very well. Paka Kudat Keva LaChaya. And it became a law. The Knesset never discussed it. The Supreme Court never applied. There was no bajats at the time of this call. And this is the way how a Jewish state became a Jewish state. Ben-Gurion wrote a letter to Ishmael. Ben-Gurion visited Sarafan Ba'at Arba, exactly as I tell you. But there was a problem. The main issue was 1958, is Mihu Yehudi, who is a Jew. And you know the story, I cannot enter into details. Binyamin Shalit, a psychologue in the Navy, lived in Haifa. What was he, a major? Rafseren. He married a non-Jewish woman, Maria of Scotland. They had two children. He came to the clerk in the Interior Ministry in Haifa and demanded that he will write them in the identity card Jewish. They live in Israel. They speak Hebrew already. Like I said, according to the documents, the mother is not Jewish and never converted. The children going after the mother are also not Jewish. I can't do it. He applied to the Supreme Court. 5-4 was the debate in the Supreme Court. 4 said, the clerk is correct. This is a Jewish state. Binyamin Shalit said, I'm not Jewish, I'm Israeli. I'm an Israeli. Professor Moshe Zilberg, the deputy president of the Supreme Court, said, you cannot create a nation in one world. A nation has roots, has fundaments, has a tradition, has a history. What is Israeli separated of Yehudi? Yahadut is a nation. Yehudim is a nation. It's a culture, it's a tradition, it's a heritage. But the ninth, there were 4-4, the ninth judge wrote only 9 lines, that he agrees with those who said, I don't enter into the question who is a Jew, halachically or not halachically. The clerk is not authorized to decide. He has to do what the citizen asked him to do. Right, Yehudi. This was the decision, 5-4, the majority of passing, that if someone says, I am Jewish, you have to write it in his identity card. Ben-Gurion, on 56 already, applied to 70 Jewish scholars all over the world to ask them, because this is not an Israeli problem, it's a world Jewish issue. What is your opinion? Who is a Jew? 94% answered, only the halakha will give the answer. 94. Even the reform rabbis that he applied here, I think Abba Hillel Silver was still alive. Said Professor Heschel, and of course of Soloveitchik, said Tzal was one of the scholars, the Lubavitch Rebbe was one of the 70, Shivim Chachmei Israel. 94%. Agnon, the Nobel Prize of Literature from Yerushalayim, Shmuel Yosef Agnon wrote to Ben-Gurion, why do you deal with this issue? It's not enough for you to be a prime minister and minister of defense? Are you a philosopher? Are you a man of constitution? Are you a spiritual leader? Ravlach, enough for you what you deal about. Leave it. Don't touch the issue. Agno. Beautiful answers. 94% said the only way of a definition who is a Jew is the halachic. So I want to tell you, maybe it's for you news, speaking about today, 300,000 non-Jews who came from the former Soviet Union countries, the Knesset on March 1970, Tet Adar Tafshin Lamed, made a decision after a long debate. This was the only time that we didn't speak in Knesset about the Jewish state, but about the Jewish nation. this was discussed deeply and widely. I remember some of the speeches by heart. The head of the coalition was Prime Minister Golda Meir. The head of the opposition was Menachem Begin. Rav Neria spoke on behalf of Mafdal, the National Religious Party. Shlomo Lawrence, for long life, spoke on behalf of Aguda. 108 among 120 members of Knesset voted that, and I'm quoting word by word because every word here is a parable. Yehudi, le'inyan chok hashvut, regarding to the law of return, and regarding to chok nirsham ochrosin, how to be registered in all the documents of the state, identity card, passport. Yehudi, you speak about Yehudi, chok hashvut, Yehudi, mirsham ochrosin. Who is Yehudi? Me the Yehudi. Me shenolad le'em Yehudiya, the one who was born from a Jewish mother, and an addition was made in the last day, ve'eino ben dat acheret, and doesn't belong to any other religion. This was regarding to Ach Daniel Oswald Rofeisen, was a Jew, a Polish Jew in Haifa, who converted to Christianity and became a priest. Ha'ach, father, the brother of Daniel, Oswald Rofeisen. So he was born to a Yehudia, but he belongs now to Dat Acher, another religion. He is not Jewish according to the Knesset. Or Mishenit Gayer, for the one who converted. Here came the Lubavitch Rebbe, said, add one word, kahalacha, kahalacha. Nitgayer, not stam nitgayer. Nitgayer according to the halacha. But they understood that if you speak about a Jewish mother, not one of the parents, means that you adopt the Jewish halacha. And if I say shenit gayer, there is only one meaning of gayrut. The same halacha with fastened that the mother is dominant to say what is the child, Jewish or not. The same halakha tells you what is the procedure of conversion. Mila, tvila, the kabbalat ol mitzvot. There were even some who opposed the Lubavitch Rebbe and said, it gayer kahalakha will not be enough because kahalakha means also in Hebrew properly. So the other movements, they say, we are also Megayer properly, as we understand it. So the word Kalaha, the other one said, let's make Alpia Shulchan Aruch. This is not fixed till this very last day. But so far, in Israel, never accepted, so far, I underline the word so far, Beinotai, a non-Orthodox conversion, not even one which was made in Israel, is not accepted. Unfortunately, after one president, Susie Miller, in the Supreme Court, one conversion, not Alpi Halakha, was made here in the United States of America, and she had immigrated, made Aliyah in Israel, she is registered Jewish. Accepted. Not in Israel, but in Israel they are appealed to Beit Din. And all the Batei Din, Paskin, Nisuin, Gerushin, Vegiur, only Alpi Halakha, thanks God. But conversions were made not Alpi Halakha, abroad, are accepted. There are very few, very, very few. The rabbinate, when it comes to the weddings department, knows exactly what kind of a conversion the mother or the father or the child went through. This is something which is still within hold. And now there is an application to the Supreme Court Bagatz by two dozens of Geirim were converted by conservative or reform movements in Eretz Israel, and they are not registered as Jews, and they apply to the Supreme Court, we are Jewish. Professor Aaron Barak, the president of the Supreme Court, he is smart enough to hot potatoes not to take them in his hand, to throw them far distance away. The issue of conversions not according to the halakha, he didn't pass them in 10 years, it's already waiting behind his door. And the second issue is giyus bachurei yeshivot, the mobilization of yeshiva boys to the army, which have many applications to the bagatz. He said, let the Knesset decide upon it. What do you want from me? On one hand, he said, hakol shafit, everything is under the judgment of the Supreme Court. Everything. If to expel some Hamas terrorist or not, the Supreme Court will decide. Not Yitzhak Rabin, Minister of Defense, but Aaron Barak and Meir Shamgar from the Supreme Court, they will decide if the terrorists expelled to Syria or Lebanon will go back to Israel or not. But Giyus Bachorei Yeshivot and Giyurim Shelo Al Pi Halacha, the Supreme Court didn't give a decision yet. I speak to him quite often, and I say, till when will you keep it? I cannot quote his answer. Very small. He understands it's a dynamite. Dynamite. I have to conclude my words in one phrase. One phrase. We are sometimes experts to take sentences partly and not to say the whole truth. When Rav Schneier was the first to demonstrate against the mission of the Soviet Union in his street of his synagogue with the slogan, let my people go, we have adopted it, and even a stamp was printed in Israel, Shalach et Ami. Paul Robson sang Shalach et Ami, and Israel made the same stamp, Shalach et Ami. But we know that Shalach et Ami is not the whole sentence. The sentence is originally, Shalach et Ami Veya'avduni. Let my people go from all exiles to Eretz Israel in order to serve me, the Almighty. Not just Shalach et Ami, a transfer of people from one country to the other. Go on Aliyah, okay, go on Aliyah. What's the purpose? What's the task? Shalach et Ami, Setum, that's all. Look at the Torah. Veya'avdun. So that Veya'avdun we threw out. And we know only Shalach et Ami. Same thing, there was a very historic, beautiful movement of Aliyah on 1882. Bilu. Tnuat Bilu. From Romania, Hungary, Russia, Moldova, New Olim to Eretz Israel, many years before the establishment of the Jewish state. Bil, which is the initials of four words from Isaiah the prophet. Beit Yaakov, Jewish family, Lechu v'Nelcha, let's go! Bil, initials. Beit Yaakov, Lechu v'Nelcha.
Aber wie hin soll ich gehen? What means lechu v'nilcha? Go! Let's go! Liahin! Where to? There is an addition in that sentence of Isaiah. Beit Yaakov lechu v'nilcha be'or Hashem. In the light of the Lord. That's the pasuk. You forgot the last two words. Who knows be'or Hashem? Kfar Bilu, Rehov Bilu, everything goes with Bilu. It's not Bilu, it's Bilu B. Beit Yaakov lechu v'nilcha be'or Hashem. You have to have Bilu B. Even in Modim Darabanan, we say twice a day, Shacharit el Mincha, Moedim Anachno Lo, Te'esof Galuyoteinu, bring together all the exiles, Lechasot Kodshecha, to the yards of your holiness, Yerushalayim. La'asot Retzoncha B'Levav Shalem. Not just to bring us, to plant us there. There is a reason. There is a target. You know, last month we had the night of Seder. That's what I want to finish with it. Don't forget. We drank 4 glasses of wine. Arba kasot. Rash, in Gemara Psochim, Sadek Tet Amud Beis, wine, arba kasot. This is parallel to 4 slogans of redemption. Motzeiti etchem mitachat zivlot Mitzrayim, I will bring you out from the slavery of Egypt. Veitzalti etchem me'avodatam, I will save you from the hard work you have done there. Vegaalti etchem bizroa netuya, with a strong arm, I will save you. Velakachti etchem li le'am, and I will take you to be my nation. I want you to pay attention. In the Mishnah, the last chapter of Psachim, Psachim number 10, Arve Psachim, answers a question. If someone wants to drink more than 4 glasses of wine, is it permitted? Or 4 is the limit? There is a limit. Today all the chefs come with recommendations after the fish, such a wine. With the meat, another kind of wine. Red wine, white wine, dry, half dry, dessert. He wants to drink more than 4 glasses. Is it possible? So the Mishnah says the following. Ben kosh sheni le kosh shlishi yishte. Between the second to the third, the first is the kiddush. The second is after the main part of the Haggadah, before the meal. The third is umbench, birkat hamazon. Between the second and the third, it's during the meal. Drink as much as you want. Because the food will take it. Ben shlishi le revi'i. Between the third and the fourth, al yishte, you will fall asleep. You don't eat anything after the afikoman, after benching. You have to say the zmirot, nishmat kol chai, and to sing the chadgadya, and echad miyodeya. Don't drink more. In my interpretation, if I may, kos shlishi, is vega'alti etchem bizroa netuya. This is the political and the physical redemption of the Jewish people. Vega'alti etchem. The fourth language is velakachti etchem li le'am. When and where did it happen? In Mount Sinai. In Kabbalat HaTorah, we are between Pesach and Shavuot. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Hayom hazeh you became a nation not in Exodus. You became a nation not in Kriyat Yamsuf. You became a nation today when you have received the Torah and Asa Nishma. בין שלישי לרביעי, between the physical redemption to the spiritual one, אל ישתה. Don't make a division. Don't make a split. Don't do things that you will forget the connection between the fourth to the third language of Geula. Geula medinit, political. Geula ruchanit, matan Torah, must be combined together. Al yishte, don't rewind, don't forget yourself between these two kinds of Geula. Because for the Jewish people, Jewishness is the most important part of its existence. Without Jewishness, without the heritage, without the tradition, without the halakha, you can be French by old religions. You can be American with older religions. But you cannot be Jewish without Jewishness. That's what Rav Saadia Gaon said in one sentence. Ein umateinu uma ela betoroteha. Our nation cannot be defined as a nation, but according to its Torah, Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaalpeh, the written Torah and the oral one. Not that we are a nation who has Torah. We are a nation because of the Torah, from the power of the Torah. So you cannot make a split between the third to the fourth language of Geula. Velakachti etchem li le'am. This is a most important organ in the vivid nation of the Jewish people. Thank you.
Before we adjourn, may I just have one moment? I would highly recommend to you, how many of you have nothing to do with the book publisher, only a friendship with the writer? How many of you have seen Lau's book? If you haven't purchased it, I highly recommend it to you. Also, I know you have many questions, but Rav Lau must go right to the airport. But I do want to express our appreciation to you, Rav Lau, for inspiring us. And I'd like to call on the director of the Schneier Center for International Affairs, Professor Ruth Bevan, to come forward. And Menachem Butler, we want to present you a token of appreciation. The Rabbi Arthur Schneier Center for International Affairs, on behalf of the undergraduate students of Yeshiva University, presents this Jewish Unity Award to Chief Rabbi Israel Meir Lau, who rose from the ashes of Buchenwald to lead the Jewish people as Chief Rabbi of the State of Israel, and has devoted his life to building bridges between Jews from all walks of life. This is presented at Yeshiva University on April 30, 2006, second day of Iyar 5766, on the occasion of the 58th anniversary of the founding of the State of Israel. Now, President Richard Joel is representing the yeshiva in Washington at the Dafer rally, but with his best wishes, signed by him and by myself. And if I can offer a bracha from a rabbi to a chief rabbi, Hashem has guided you from Buchenwald to Eretz Yisrael, as Rav in Netanya, Tel Aviv, Chief Rabbi of Israel for 10 years, now back to Tel Aviv, unprecedented, another term. All I'm saying to you, may you go, may Chayil El Chayil, and may Hashem guide you. If he wants to become President of Israel, we're not going to complain either. Nothing.